Welcome to Street TV Podcast. In this episode, I have an interview I did with Eric Big Spider Jones, who eventually became a member of the Playboy Gangster Crips. This podcast version of Spider's interview includes 12 additional minutes that have never been heard if you've already watched the 5 parts of Spider's interview on the Street TV YouTube channel. The Playboy Gangster Crips are a unique gang in a unique community in Los Angeles because although they are Crips from LA, they are not located in the South Los Angeles corridor like 95% of all other Crips and Blood gangs. The PBGs claim West LA, and in gang parlance, that just means you are located west of La Brea Avenue. That's not to be confused with the city of Los Angeles' community called West Los Angeles. Now, the West Los Angeles is a neighborhood that goes from Centinela Avenue to the west, Wilshire and Santa Monica Boulevard to the north, National, Pico, and Exposition Boulevard to the south, and approximately Robertson Boulevard to the east. And within that West LA are the neighborhoods of Sawtelle, Rancho Park, Beverlywood, Cheviot Hills, Castle Heights, and Century City. And there are no distinct black communities or black gangs in those areas. But the West LA that the Playboy gangsters claim became a black community during the late 1960s when blacks from other parts of South Los Angeles were being bused to Hamilton High School, a premier high school at the time, located on Robertson Avenue. Black families slowly started to move into the Cadillac Corning area, a community full of 2- and 3-story apartment buildings located between La Cienega Boulevard to the east and Robertson to the west. This area during the 1950s was predominantly a Jewish community, and as soon as the first black families arrived, most of the Jewish families began to move. And by the time you get to the mid to late 1970s, this community was predominantly black. And it's during this time the Playboy Gangster Crips were formed. The Playboys were actually a dance crew before they became a gang, and they specialized in pop locking and battling with other dance crews. But then by the late 1970s, they transitioned into a Crip gang. This interview starts in my car, with me driving and Spider sitting in the passenger seat, and we're on our way to an area where he grew up. But before we get into this interview, please go back and listen to the trailer episode if you haven't already done so. It's only 3 minutes and will tell you exactly what to expect on this podcast. I would also like to remind everyone to follow Street TV Podcast on the platform you're listening to right now, so you can get alerts when we post new episodes every Friday morning. If you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or iHeart, click that follow button. And to all you Apple Podcast listeners, please leave us a rating and a review. And in your review, you can give me some feedback on this episode, previous episode, or you might want to hear a specific interview converted into a future episode here on Street TV Podcast. I might just make that the next episode. So here is Big Spider from PBG in an episode I call Ain't No Fun When the Rabbit Got the Gun.
Playboy gangsters, you know, Marvins, Mansfields, all the lot, is like a melting pot of families that, you know, lived in Watts and Compton and all, you know, since South Central, but got better jobs. You know what I'm saying? They wanted a better life for their kids, so they moved over there with their children. But they, you know, but they still brought them badass kids with them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we just meshed together and, you know, it was like a gumbo of nuts. I never joined a gang to be hard or tough or mean or evil. You know what I'm saying? I joined the gang, what they call gang banging, to looking for a sense of love. You know what I'm saying? Sense of support. I grew up as the only child, you know what I'm saying? In fact, my family was, you know, my dad, like I said, he was a stuntman actor. And he went pretty much Hollywood. You know, he got really caught up into the formalities of Hollywood, and he was my first version of understanding what a playboy was. You know, because he was in there like that. You know what I'm saying? And my mom's, it pretty much drove her erratic, you know, trying to keep up with him. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't do as much as attention she needed to, you know, as me as a child. You know, now don't get me wrong. Financially, you know, I had the best of the best. I was spoiled rotten. You know, I went to Wilshire Crest. I went to John Burroughs Junior High School, then I went to Fairfax. Later on, you know what I'm saying, ended at Hamilton Continuation, you know.
Yeah, those are all pretty good schools.
Yeah, you know, I played Pop Warner for Beverly Hills.
So all those schools you went to, elementary, junior high, and high school, was racially mixed. White people, black people, Asian people.
I was going to John Burroughs, I remember the next day after first viewing the show Roots, when it first aired. That very next day at school, we had a school riot.
Was that 1979?
1977.
77?
that a school ride to meet it. And most of the schools that, like you said, was diverse around Los Angeles, that's what occurred the very next day after Roots aired. You know, so that's why they wanted to, really, they never wanted Roots to be shown on the air.
So you were in the seventh grade in 1977?
Yes.
Were you already aware of the Playboy Gangster Crips? Or they weren't really out yet.
No.
In the 70s, they were more like dancer different crews, right?
Yes.
Can you talk about some of the dancer crews you heard about before it became PBG?
Well, not really, because I'm not a founder. Like I tell you, I'm with what they call the establishers. You know, I'm with like the second generation.
But you heard about some of the...
Oh, yeah. I remember the dancers, you know, because they had, in that area, in the areas around there, you know, they had, like my area where I stayed at, you had more like the Diamondbacks and the Red Lights and the Automatic Breakdowns and like that crews, you know what I'm saying? And they would go, we would always hear about them going against the Playboy Dancers, the Pop Lock Gangsters, and the Moonlighters, you know what I'm saying? And every time they would go against them, most of the time, they wouldn't win, you know what I'm saying? They would lose. The best, not as far as the best dancer of the, was it the Red Lights? Well, the best, one of the best solo dancers, I put it like that, was they could dance, just neck and neck with the Playboys, whatever, from what I heard, right? Just like I said, allegedly, right? But I seen him dance with Mark Huntley, right? Which is also a big trade ball for Marvin. You know what I'm saying? Been like a big brother to me for years, you know?
So he was a dancer?
Yeah, he could dance. He could dance, and he could, all the girls wanted him. You know what I'm saying?
So he's an OG Marvin.
Oh, yeah.
So some of the OG Marvins came out of the dancing crews too, then?
No, I wouldn't say that, because most of the Marvins came up out of the Godfathers. They were like baby Godfathers or something like that, you know?
Where were the Godfathers at?
They had the whole area, shoot, from like Marvin area, all into the Gear Gang area. That was all that was like Godfather. They had a big territory, you know, all the way down to, basically down to Harlem Godfathers.
Oh, so you know, you're saying that was an extension of the Harlem Godfathers?
Well, I don't know which one was out first. I'm not sure that I never really, you know what I'm saying, dove into the history of that, because, you know, that was out of my element. I wasn't concerned, but like that, you know.
But they had some Godfathers on your side of town.
No, yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. So you got to realize, though, from what I heard and what I know, the Playboy Dancers and the Pop Lock Gangsters, they were already, like, tough. It was already like ruffians, you know what I'm saying? Like in their spare time, when they wasn't practicing dancing, they probably, you know what I'm saying, was out doing some Robin Hood type shit, you know what I'm saying? And it was already, so it wasn't hard. You know, back then in them days, if you lock, sometime whoever win, the loser want to fight. You know what I'm saying? So all that, a lot of people thinking they do just dancing like the TV breakdowns, that was it. No, the dancing out here in LA, it was a fight after almost every dance off. You know, dancing, and one time they was dancing, and after a dance off, you know, the dancer, they would end up winning the fights too. See, they beat your dance and beat your ass. You know what I'm saying? So one group that didn't take too kindly to that, I guess they was strapped. You know what I'm saying? Carly still popping off at the homies. And that's when they sealed it in stone, you know. Then you had also, you know, scrimmages, you know what I'm saying? With the Hoovers. As far as the gangs, you know what I'm saying? We heard like the kid, West Side Undergrounds, you know, the Stanley Boys, you know, all that was over there in that area.
Which area was that?
The Playboy Gangsters.
Okay.
And since we're right here, mm-hmm, at Pico and La Brea, right? I'll give you this information that, a fact of history and life, that from right here on west is all like gangster crip, you know? It starts out Mansfield, right? And it goes on to where by yourself, on onto the Playboy Gangsters, then the Marvins, you know, you go back down to Washington. So right here, all this area, you go this way, like a corner, would be all gangster Crips.
And then going east, you have your rivals, right? Like Schoolyard, they're not gangster Crips.
No.
And did you guys get along with Gear?
No.
So Gear, they're not gangster Crips. So was that the divide, like the Schoolyards, the Gears on the east side of La Brea, and then all the gangster Crips on the west side of La Brea?
Pretty much, yeah, that's the dividing line, you know what I'm saying, right now, to this day, yeah.
I was in JB, mm-hmm, when one of the first, you said he was from Playboy Gangster, but I guess he switched over from Mansfield to Playboy, from Playboy to Mansfield, but Chucky Patterson.
Yeah, yeah, one of my best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Got killed right
my
there.
My written best friend, yeah. Yeah, me and Chucky go back from, when I was in second grade.
Now I'm confused. Was Chucky from Playboy Gangster or was he from Mansfield?
He was from Playboy Gangster. Well, he thought, Chucky.
The Mansfields claim him.
Yeah. Chucky, Coco, right? And I was also there when they came out.
At this point of the interview, we parked the car on the southeast corner of Olympic and La Brea. There is a top round roast beef spot there, but when I was a teen, this was a Winchell's Donut. And this intersection is extremely memorable to the Playboy Gangsta Crips and the Mansfields because of a tragic incident that Spider's about to tell us. I also want to clarify that when we said JB, that refers to John Burroughs Middle School, located in Hancock Park, right on Wilshire and McCadden, which was a school that I actually attended for all three grades of my junior high school. During the 1980s, John Burroughs was an incredible school in terms of racial diversity and all the programs they offered. There was a balance of blacks, Latinos, whites, Jewish, and Asians, mostly Koreans. When I was there, I participated in band, orchestra, sports, home economics, computer club, gymnastics, stage crew, play production, and I actually had a sewing class that I enjoyed. Today, all those programs are gone, a combination of budget cuts and white families sending their kids to private school. But when Spider went there during the 1970s, it was an excellent school.
So Spider, where we at?
Oh, we right here on Olympic and La Brea.
And this is a significant corner historically because you had a very good friend lose his life here.
Yeah, my friend Chucky Patterson, you know, Lil Snoop. And was also known as Baby Boy. To the Mansfields, he was known as Baby Boy. To the PBGs, he was known as Lil Snoop. You know, we've known each other since I was in second grade, man. You know what I'm saying? And he was one of the main reasons that I became a PBG. You know, because he was a down brother, man. He wasn't no shit starter. You know what I'm saying? He never got into, like, but he was a shit finisher, put it like that. You know what I'm saying? The boy had hands and he had swag, and you know what I'm saying? The girls loved him. You know what I'm saying? He was good folks. You know, that was my tights. That was my dog. I was doing time in YTS for already shooting, schoolyard. When I tell you,
Bo Taylor and them.
Yeah. So when I heard the news, man, it like, I just blanked out. You know, cause that's my friend. He knew my moms, I knew his moms. You know what I'm saying? I knew his big sister. You know, his big sister like my sister. You know, I could sneak away out the house. You know what I'm saying? Go late night over his crib, he come on mine. You know, we went to school, everything. Play Pop Warner football together, name it. You know? So I took that real hard, real hard. But like I said, I was doing time. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the stories is not as clear, you know, as supposed to be. You know, one story is that you know the guy from schoolyard girlfriend and Chucky girlfriend knew each other, and you know what I'm saying. But like my boyfriend beat you up and just any other. That's what I heard when I was in jail, right? But then another story is that one of the guys got banged on and he showed up over here looking for somebody, you know what I'm saying. And Chucky just showed up and got that fade and was whooping the nigga ass, you know what I'm saying. And when he turned. Thought it was over, whatever. The guy picked up a knife and stabbed him in the chest.
We're still on La Brea and Olympic, but where are we standing in front of now?
Oh, we got a footage of my old elementary school, you know, Wilshire Crest. When I started second grade there. So I started originally with like West Atkins Elementary over towards the Hoover and Raymond area. But Pops got a big check, you know, for doing them stunts. You know, we moved right up down the street, down there on Olympic and Dunsmere. And I started going to school right here. My first four friends I really met was Valerie White, Chucky White, which both of them became Marvins, Chuck Dogg and Betty Boop. Then I met Chick Chick, which became, you know what I'm saying, like our sister, you know what I'm saying, and from the turf, you know what I'm saying, she was Playgirl Gangster. And Chucky Patterson, you know what I'm saying? Those are my first original friends out of Wilshire Crest.
Guys get in trouble with the teachers and stuff like
all that, man, all that. We did it all. Name it, we did it. Pulling pranks, we was doing, oh man, we was something else.
Charles Chucky Patterson was killed on September 27th, 1984, and he was 18 years old. I actually remember that day because the news made it to John Burroughs Junior High, and I recall several students crying the next morning in class. I never met Chucky, but I went to school with many of his friends. At this point, we jumped back into my car to drive to the heart of Playboy Gangsta Crip neighborhood in the Cadillac Corning area. I asked him which Damu sets did they have back in the day around this area. And what I mean by Damu is I'm asking him about what blood gangs existed. Damu is actually a Swahili word, which means blood. And oftentimes we refer to bloods when we're talking slang on the streets as Damus. And that comes from prison because a lot of brothers go to prison and learn Swahili.
Which Damu set did they have over here back in the day?
Well, put it like this. Which set, what Damu set, would Frink with the area?
Yeah.
Okay, you had Mid-City Bloods, right? You had Midtown Family Bloods. You had 20s, right? Neighborhood 20s. You got the Jungle, and you got City Stone. So you can see that all that's right here going all the way back like that. So that would have been easier for them to, you know, control this population over here.
So Midtown Family and Mid-City Bloods is now Schoolyard Crip area. That was all Bloods,
pretty much,
I guess,
yeah.
At some point.
Yeah,
Did you ever meet any of the Midtown families before that? Before Schoolyard took over?
Yeah, well, allegedly one of the guys that got on the stand on me, I might as well put that out there, you know, his name was Alex Delaney. They call him Big Swan from Schoolyard. You know, in 1983, I wasn't arrested until the beginning of 84. But 1983, he said, you know, well, I shot him and a brother by the name of Bozo, Bo Taylor, rest in peace. And Bo Taylor, he kept his mud. You know, he didn't tell, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the reasons I'm even, you know, doing, other than JC asked me to do this interview, mm-hmm. that I'm doing it because it's like my second chance, because it always weighs in my heart how Bo Taylor came in our hood, in our turf, in 1991, right, by himself, to find me, right, and I thought it was some negative. I met him up there at La Cienega in 18th, you know, and I got my thing, this and that, and the other. He was telling me, man, that he wanted me to come with him, and me and him would go around the probably around the world, man, which he ended up doing with Harry Belafonte, you know what I'm saying?
And Jim Brown.
Yeah, he had. And he had a vision of what better people, you know what I'm saying, two dudes, one dude shot the other, they was once rivals, but now they're working together in peace to stop gang violence.
Yeah, Bo Taylor eventually founded Unity
One. Yeah, that's what he was talking about. I would have been right there on that platform with him.
You mentioned you was in YTS for that shooting you did against the Schoolyards. How old were you when they arrested you, and what was it like going through the criminal justice system at such a young age?
Oh, I was 18, and I mean, I already been to juvenile hall a couple of times, you know.
Oh, so you was 18, but they sent you to YTS?
Yeah, I went there on the M number.
Okay.
That's why my prison number was so old, but I still ended up going to prison in 86.
But nowadays,
first time I hit the
they'll
prison
send you
yard.
Straight to prison now.
Oh, yeah.
If you're 18.
If doing what I did, yeah.
Doing what...
Oh, and then, you know, you had to... Now you got the gun enhancements and, you know what I'm saying, all kind of allegations.
Gun enhancement.
Yeah. See, YTS was like what you might call it. It was one of the gladiator schools or whatever like that, because you had to be 18 to 25 to be there, though.
Okay, yeah.
So you still was going, you know what I'm saying, it was grown folk time.
And most everybody that's in YTS, more than half of them got murders.
All of them was the hardest of the hardest was in YTS.
Who'd you cross paths with when you was in YTS at that time?
Man, who I didn't cross paths with? I crossed paths with one of the most dangerous bloods. They ended up being like my boxing coach, was Big Gator from my bounty hunter. Man, that boy was a beast. You know why they called him Gator? He had another name, right? But what made the name really stick on him, whatever, from what I heard, is when he was in Nellis, five Crips like tried to run the cell on him. And Gator's like, he's short like me. And he tore their ass up, ain't him a lie. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't the first dude that taught me that, you know, the whole cell is a weapon. You know, he fight like Jason Bourne type shit. You know, and shit, he had mad respect. You wanna fuck with Gator. Then you had, you know, we had Mad Bone, you had Bounty Hunter Loaf, you had, man.
You was in there with Loaf?
Huh?
You was in there.
Yeah. You had China Doll, Marcus Nunn.
From Lucas
just,
Park?
Yeah, I think when I got there, I think he was just leaving. Then you had, you know, you had Big, everybody. You had Big PD Wack was there, right, for 60s. You had Big Mad Bone from Matrix Gangster. Shit. Monster had just left, so he missed him. And I was blessed to be immediately moved in the cell with Big Fat Rat from Playboy Gangster. That's Jesse James Crimey. But I think, you know, now that I think back on it, see, Fat Rat already heard that I was a bad actor in 4800, the Crip Module, right? And bad actor out here on the street. So his time, he was about to go home. So he was always one of our most intelligent homies. So he probably thought it out, you know what I'm saying? And said, let me get this little nigga in the cell with me. You know what I'm saying? Before you make my time, you know, catch me some time up in here. You know what I'm saying? See, you know, I thought it was really just out to love, you know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, he put it.
He had an ulterior motive.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, you know what I'm saying?
Now, have you crossed paths with any of these guys that you met in YTS when you got to the prison? When you got to.
They all of them. Vamp from Compton Avenue, all of them dudes. Like, man, almost everybody that was in TS, when they got out, either if they didn't get killed, they end up in prison, you know what I'm saying? Most of them had life. Now, you know, Mad Bone, I love him, man. I love that my brother, right? But when we first met, he didn't like me. He tried to get me like three different times. You know what I'm saying? Because I was a little ass. You know, he tested. You know, you can test it, right? And he had tested me, and I barked so goddamn loudly because he was in the gym. You know what I'm saying? And the door was locked. So I talked shit. He talked some shit, and I talked some shit. I'm saying? When I get your little motherfucker, I beat the shit out of you. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, hey, whatever, nigga. I'm going to stab your big ass, something like that, right? So every time he catch me, I throw my little dukes up because, man, I'm a little, he probably like 6'3", yeah. Something like that, you know what I'm saying? And got squabbles, you know what I'm saying? And he was in there for killing motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, damn. So every time he came up, you know, I threw my little dukes up, and something would always intervene from him actually, you know what I'm saying? We actually put his hand out and reached me. And the person that finally settled it, once again, was Gator. You know,
bounty hunter.
Yeah.
We heard about Spider's time in YTS, which is Youth Training School. It's a prison for young adults in Chino, California. Most of the young adults in YTS were transferred over from the YA system. This is the highest level of incarceration in California before adult prison. And YTS, which was also known as Herman G. Stark Youth Correctional Facility, at its peak housed almost 800 young adults, all from the ages of 18 to 25. YTS was one of the most violent institutions in the entire state of California, even more violent than a level 4 adult prison, because these guys mostly came from the YA system when they were juveniles, and they were very active looking for a fight for anything at any time. In adult prison, there's far more structure, and violence on a level 4 prison goes through a chain of command, whereas at YTS, it's a free-for-all. And that's one of the reasons why they closed down YTS back in 2010. At its peak, there would be 10 fights per day, and the administration and staff had absolutely no control over the mayhem. In fact, back in 1996, a counselor was killed in YTS. Anise Baker, 42-year-old black woman who was assigned to C&D company at YTS, came up missing one day. James Ferris, who was sentenced to YTS for murder, was eventually convicted of her murder in 2000. He was convicted of first-degree murder with multiple special circumstances, one killing an on-duty peace officer and killing an attempt to escape from YTS. Ferris actually killed Ms. Baker in a closet by stabbing and strangling her to death, and then he took the body to a dumpster outside without any of the administration seeing him. This all occurred on August 9th, 1996, and then they found her body on August 11th at a trash dump site in Pomona. Ferris received a life sentence without parole and is currently in Ironwood State Prison. I think Spider was actually at YTS when this happened, but we didn't get to talk about it. Next, Spider takes us to Corning Street to talk about some of his experiences when he was a member of the PBGs.
Where we at?
We're on a Corning. What they call C Street.
C Street.
Yeah, this is where it all began. We're between Cadillac and Guthrie. But I want to show you exactly where they say they solidified it back at, in this alley. Yeah, this is where, you know, Big Jesse, you know, called Big Pirate and, you know, Master D and Droop from what I was told, you know what I'm saying? And Chuko and Boo Boo and Red and Big Poker and One Punch, Kenny Raymond. And they, Jesse said, you know, he was tired of all this, you know, fighting or dancing. Dancing and fighting, you know? And we already doing our thugging, you know what I'm saying? And you know, folks, white folks ain't wasn't safe, you know what I'm saying? We gonna get our bread, they robbing, whatever they doing, hitting licks. So, you know, and they had already had a fight with a couple of different organizations, you might call it street gangs. They said, okay, you know, it's gonna be Playboy Gangsta Crips. We're gonna take the Pop-Lock Gangsta, put the Playboy Dancers and put it together, you know? And that's when it started, 1979. It all started right here in back of this alley.
And you were around, but young.
No, I wasn't around.
Oh, you weren't around?
I wasn't here, you know what I'm saying? I didn't come until 1982, you know? So like I said, you know, one of my best friends to this day, you know, Big Ben knows. He stayed in the front, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, you know, see right there, there should be a gate right there, right? You know what I'm saying? And that's when the first time, you know, Ben knows rushed me, you know what I'm saying? And I let him get away with it. I just want to put that on camera. I want that to be known, you know what I'm saying? And I let him whoop my ass, you know what I'm saying? And even though he done did it about 7 times, you know, 8 times, I'm finally going to get him sooner or later, you know? But that's when he first started abusing me, right there, y'all. You know, I want you to be known. I love my nigga, though. See, he gonna be, you know what I'm saying? He gonna beat my ass for me saying this, you know what I'm saying? But this one time, I got a chance, you know what I'm saying, to put that out there.
So what was the issue between you and them?
Love. Because see, what happened was, when I first walked up to Hamilton, by myself, walked up on the campus, right? With my khakis on and my blue rag, you know what I'm saying? And Nose and Lil Insane and a couple other homies, they were like, who the fuck is this nigga walking by himself on our campus? So Ben Nose immediately came over there and approached me. Like, where you from? You know, who's you? And I told him, you know what I'm saying? At that time, I was claiming Lil Spider. I was Lil Spider. Lil Spider 107 Who, you know? He was like, yeah, this nigga, you know? And so we chopped it up, got cool. But after the school, see, and I don't care, you know, he don't agree with nothing I say, and I don't agree with nothing he says. You know what I'm saying? But we started from day one, you know what I'm saying? So I agree with most of the stuff he says, but he don't agree with nothing I say. Do you know he walked from Hamilton? Now, remember when we was over in Olympic La Brea? He walked me all the way home. Now, you know what I'm saying? What was that about if it wasn't for love? You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, I did tell him I had some a bunch of motherfucking, what do you call it, bow weed back then, you know what I'm saying? But we walked our way, and then on the way going to my house, this man was arguing with me all the whole step of the way, trying to tell me how to walk my own way home. Today he tried to tell me, I was just showing you the Playboy Gangsta way to get home.
You were Lil Spider when you first came around here?
Yeah.
And that was Lil Spider from
one? No, when I came to C Street, I was already Spider, right? And then Pirate put the loco on it.
Now, did they know that you had this little connection to the 107 Hoovers as a youngster?
Yeah. Yeah, because they had already, like I said, they had a little skirmishes, but then they already grew to be tight, you know what I'm saying? So, like, Lil Mac and Ratneck and all them, Big Cousin and all them, they was already coming over here.
Oh, okay.
So they had already had a bond.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was pretty easy transition because, well, the reason I really left from over there because Big Boo, I left my radio with him, and he sold my radio, man. And I came back that to get my radio, and he had sold it. I wasn't too happy with that. So he was like, you know, little nigga, what you want to do? You want to fight? And I was like, yeah, you know. So he took me over there to the Budlong Elementary School. They had these 7 steps. A lot of dudes got on 7107 that way, and it was like a little pit. You know what I'm saying? Steps go down. It was really a janitor's office or something, right? And you know, he got down, he said, bring your little badass down here. He so he thought I was going to cheese up the whole round, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm riding on the bike going up to the school on Sunny Handlebars, Big Sunny. I was on the handlebars. So I get down there, I get to fighting. And he was, man, he bloodied me from head to toe, but I would not cry, I would not give up, you know what I'm saying, to the end, right? And that's what he wanted me to be, Little Boo, right? But I was thinking, nah, you know what I'm saying, I'm Little Spider. I'm thinking in my head, right, that Big Spider's going to whoop your ass, right? Because his name was Eric also, and he stayed around the corner. My godparents and then he stayed on 106th and Hoover. He stayed on 107th and Hoover, right? So when this was over and I called him and told him about it, right? I called him first, then I went and seen him. And what I would say today would have been like, what you call him, a Buster Rube, you know what I'm saying? Because he had no, because if I'm your big homie, right? You my little homie, And one of the homies takes something from you or sell it off to you, right? And then you stand up for yourself and fight it. I need to take that fade too. He got to beat both our asses then, right? It was no, he Danny said, well, damn, you know, you shouldn't have left him with, you shouldn't have left him with the radio. That was his thing. And then next thing you know, he left and he went and joined a Turf in Compton. I never seen him again. So that's why I was always, you know, I was going through the transition of living over there. I was confused then. I was like hurt, confused, you know, traumatized down there. How did my G homie? No, man, you know what I'm saying? But then he didn't have the same, we didn't have the same bond or connection like me and Chucky had, or me and Coco had, you know? So that's when I got a little bit more into football, and my football name was Jonestown. So I kind of like equated that with that and still trying to hold on to the, you know, the Weekend Hoover name, you know what I'm saying? Because I could only go over there on the weekends.
So what years were you hanging out with the 107 Hoovers?
Well, like I said, my grandparents, I've been around them since I was 2 years old. So I like grew up over there, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going back and forth, every week, even going to Wishcrest and John Burroughs, I'm still going over there. Like every weekend.
But you started to know everybody from Ratneck to Devil.
Everybody.
What years did you know?
Andre Sam Devil shoot. He was the first person that taught me how to load a gun. You know what I'm saying? Sam, all the Ransom brothers. Name it over there, the whole Salos. You know what I'm saying? They were like big brothers and uncles to me. You know, and that's why Boo wanted me to be Little Boo. You know what I'm saying? Because he was like, he knew that Spider wasn't gonna do nothing. He said it. But I didn't want him to believe it. You know what I'm saying? But I had to see it for myself. That's some good times over there. And I idolized Big Jap. Big Jap was the first dude I seen that could fight, that you know, was cool in the motherfucker, could dress, you know, had the jewelry, whatever. He had the girls. And he was a solid dude. And then, you know, he got killed mysteriously. And that was another thing that started weighing on me. You know, then people like Moo Moo got killed. You know, a lot of people got known leaders, known generals, this thing, you're dying off. I was like, damn, man, what the hell going on here, you know? So all that was happening in turn when the episode took place, what really made me became a Playboy gangster.
Next, Spider takes me to an apartment building on Corning Street that was known as the main hangout for the Playboy gangster Crips during the 1980s. Spider talks about the Crip conflict between neighborhood Crips and gangster Crips, which was a huge split that occurred back in 1979 that exists to this day. The Playboy gangsters are known as Trays or gangster Crips, and they feud with neighborhood Crips. For example, S-Bone from last week's episode is from Roland 40's neighborhood Crips, and they would be natural rivals with the Playboy gangster Crips. Most all the Crips in the West LA car are aligned with the gangster Crips, which would include the Marvins, Mansfields, Playboys, and a few more communities.
All right, this is what we call the Boogie Wolf Mansion back in the days. And why was that? Because for some odd reason, when the girls that were getting Section 8 from like the East Side or whatever like that, Wise Compton or whatever like that, then when they were moving over here, every last one of their ass was ugly as a motherfucker. So we get to calling them the Boogie Wolf Mansion. But it also became like a stronghold, a fortress for us. If you look at it the way it is, you know what I'm saying? So we could have, we had homies from right here, there's a big ass corridor back in there. So we could have, man, you did your dealing back there, then you had your arsenal. We had, so after ugly girls, though, don't get me wrong now, each one of us would get one of them, you know what I'm saying? That was on the block. What is known as the Frontline G's, with one of the worst wars that we've ever had, you know what I'm saying, with the World of 60s. Most of us would get one of these girls so we could be on one of these balconies, so we could be on the lookout, you know what I'm saying? Because they wasn't playing.
How did that war come about?
Like I said, man, almost all that stuff comes out of, I was in YTS when that happened. I was still doing time for that other incident. And Mike, let me say for the record about this, that, you know, I can stand with pride and say that I'm from a family, I'm from a tribe, you know, that there never really was a gang. If we look back at our behavior, we really never were gang bangers. You know what I'm saying? We were all there because everything came together to, because when Jesse didn't put it down, the bylaws that we call it going to say that was two things, you know. It was almost like what Jesus said in the Bible, love your father as you love yourself. It was like the same thing. Love your homies, you love yourself, and protect each other at all costs. That's all it was, you know. So on an everyday thing, didn't nobody come on the block to be evil or acting hard or mean and stuff like that. And that's what I loved about the Playboy gangster. You know, you could be yourself, you know what I'm saying? You didn't have to walk with this hysteria because ain't nobody hard all the time. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody walking around it. You know, motherfuckers be telling war stories. They'll be talking about, like, they won every fight, you know, and they never had to run. Motherfucker tell you that, he lying. You know, the Playboy Gangster and the homegirl, homeboys, we was just like brothers and sisters. You know? So I say that we never, I'm from an area that had never started any of the so-called street wars that we was thrown in. We didn't start none of them, not one, from day one. From the beginning to this day, we never started none of them. You know, we never go out and be like trying to turn somebody out and to be something, you know, be part of us. We don't do none of that stuff. We ain't start none of them wars.
So what happened between the PBGs in the 60s?
From what I recollect, it was, once again, somebody got some Section 8, you know, and they moved over this way, you know what I'm saying? But, and also, let me tell you something about how I understand and what was taught to me by like Big Scatterbrain and them, Big Mike and Big Rick and them from 60s, you know, that I would give an ear to. 60s do this. They be doing what you call crip checking. They'll go in a certain area and they check your cripping. And if it ain't stand up in the par, then they gonna turn you, then you got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to join into the neighborhood car and they gonna show you how it's done. And that's how a lot of neighborhood sets, you know what I'm saying, that became neighborhood, came up under the neighborhood banner. Now, it's a different spirit for some reason with the gangster crip car that don't behave like that. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's good, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's never been the spirit. The A-Trays are not known for going out, you know what I'm saying, trying to turn somebody else into an A-Tray or whatever. The Broadways are not known for that. The Avalons ain't known for that. You know what I'm saying? The West LA gangster ain't known for that. And then you got other gangster crip neighborhoods, but those main four I just said, them the ones that always mostly have say-so on any prison yard or has any kind of voice in these streets of Los Angeles. In the whole LA County, them the only ones really people really give a ear to, you know. Trey 57's out of Pomona, you know what I'm saying? That you really give a ear, you know, okay, that's the homie, okay, well, listen to what he's saying, you know.
Okay.
So this is, like I said, this became a stronghold for us, you know, where we could protect and cover and, you know, we could watch, because see, we used to be all the way up on that roof up there. Laying down, we had homies up there with choppers. You know what I'm saying? They could see the whole block from one side to the other. You know, we had homies on the cut over there. Man, this down here in the, I mean, this whole building, if you look at it, you know what I'm saying? It was a fortress. To be reckoned with. And every apartment building, like these, especially these two front of there, you got Negroes up in the apartment buildings. You know, they up in there doing their thing, you know what I'm saying, with the hustle. They loading straps, whatever, you know? Getting with the girls, name it, they were doing it. It was a wild time.
So how do you feel being back here on this block? I'm sure it's been a while.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun times, a lot of laughs, a lot of happy times. And then it's a lot of, you know, sad times. I remember, you know, when nobody really stand up to Big Insane, right? But I remember one time that Ben knows, he got up in Insane's face. You know, I got stabbed up in 1983. Big Insane saved my life. You know, I was out, you know, I used to always, like I say, I used to always play a lot. I like the rough house, you know what I'm saying? So I had the stitches in my stomach and I lost a little bit of my lung. Like to this day, you know, they had to cut some of out and cause I had too much water in my lungs. And Big Scooby, he had picked me up. And he slammed me on top of the car. Now, usually when he do something like that, I'm laughing. You know what I'm saying? He'd punch the shit out of me, he'd hit hard. You know what I'm saying? But when he did it that time, the stitches broke. And I couldn't, it was painful and I couldn't do it. And I started crying, right? And I was like, man, I can't play no more. That's all I'm gonna do, you know what I'm saying? You know, I was a wild kid, right? And Big Insane, Big Low, he was like, all right, man, you know, I'm finna take him on, right? And No said, no, we going right now, you know what I'm saying? He's like, man, I'm taking him on. And no, ran up in his face. He said, we going right now, and he coming with us. And, you know, that's more of that story. You know what I'm saying? That's all I can say about that. You know what I'm saying? So, Insane said, okay. You know what I'm saying?
So were you surprised to see Bent Nose actually stand his ground against Insane?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I mean, I, any given day.
But they didn't fight, though.
No. I'm saying, Insane agreed with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he talked with that stern. He was serious. It was no joking. But see, me and Bent Nose, as soon as I come over here every day, right, we fighting, we rushing, we, you know what I'm saying? We getting out, we gonna body every time we go, you know what I'm saying? And he, you know, yeah, he's bigger, he got big ass fists and shit, you know? You see, I wouldn't really do him like I would do an enemy back then, you know what I'm saying? You know, the martial arts or whatever, you know? Matter of fact, he's the only one I think, cause I'm pretty good. Kenny Rayne was better, but I would like to be in the second place of that, you know? And Benno's the only one that can say in his highlight reel that he's the only one that caught my foot.
Okay, now real quick, you said that you guys never really pushed a line on any hood, but what about the Bedford Gangsta Crips? Weren't the PBGs a little upset when they decided to start a hood just a couple blocks west of where we're standing right now?
Yeah, I still can't, this day can't understand that. Cause I was in jail once again, you know, doing a stretch and I just heard about that and I was like, that was like so, it was abnormal to me. You know, how could something happen? But see, what happened was it was a time we had a lapse. You know, when the fabric of the family, the love, you know what I'm saying, the dedication, the unity, was like torn apart. You know, and it was no love. And that's what happened. You know what I'm saying? You had some other families that moved over here, and they seen, okay, as far as how to play with gangs, was treating each other at that time. I guess they said, man, we don't be a part of that, you know? And they started something else. I was like, wow. And then it formed for a minute. You know, so I still can't understand how that happened.
Well, I was looking at the graffiti the other day, and the PBGs actually crossed them out, you know? So obviously there's some tension between the...
What's it about today? Since now?
This was about a few months ago. I found some graffiti over here. It said Bedford Gangsta Crip, and it was crossed out, and it said PBG underneath it.
Yeah, that's some old shit. That shit's old as hell, because most of Bedford boys are PBG now.
Okay.
You know? But see, they was already... like I said, I really can't even speak on that, because I don't even know nothing about that. I was like, man, I don't know you understand it. To this day, I don't know how that happened. How none of this stuff, a lot of stuff that happened, I don't understand why it happened. Because, any of the local rifts and beefs, you know, if I was out here when it happened, when it about to start, I'd have been like a main calluses of pushing a piece. And that can't happen, you know? I was like this, like before I would have let Playboys and Mansfield get into it, right? I would have told the Playboys and the Mansfield, both of y'all kill me now then, because I don't want to be alive to see this happen. You see what I'm saying? That's how much love I had.
What are some final thoughts before we leave C Street?
Well, that I want to be a part of my legacy to when, you know, to be known that I had something to do with helping this come from the street to the corporate high rise, you know, because we pushing something positive today. We ain't even looking at other rivals and stuff like that. We looking past that, you know what I'm saying? All the homies my age, you know what I'm saying? We trying to, you know, the fallen soldiers, you know, like Labor Day, we celebrate Labor Day too, you know what I'm saying? And we trying to have them live through us.
You mean Memorial Day?
I mean Memorial Day, it's on Labor Day, excuse me. Memorial Day, yeah. You know, we got something to remember too, you know?
Let's go through a few of those rest in peace names real quick before we leave C Street. C Street.
Oh, you got Big Diamond, got Big Insane, Big Ghost. Man, you got Master D. You got, so many. You got Wimpy. You know what I'm saying? My heart goes, man, see, you don't get me all emotional when I get to thinking like that. Because everybody know I'm known as the emotional homie. Woo-wee.
Who would you say was the most formidable opponent? Would it have been the Shorelines, the Schoolyards, the Gears? What neighborhood do you feel like really made it a challenge to be over here?
Oh, without a doubt, the 60s.
The 60s?
That's no question. Everybody know that? Yeah, that's no question. Anybody go against the 60s, that's going to be probably your worst challenge. You know, unless you it's just as big as they are. But yeah, without a question, without a doubt, man. You know what I'm saying? They made it where we had to step up to, the gang, you know what I'm saying, the banging up. We had to step the warfare up. You know, there ain't nobody ever walked on us. Ain't nobody ever, the 60s literally, them cuts I just showed you, they literally came through there, you know what I'm saying, and killed one of the homies. You know, they did shit like that. You know, they came on the block, they jumped out of here, you know, they made us have to, man, yeah, without a doubt, man. Rolling 60s.
At this point, we leave Corning Street and head to Stanley Avenue near Pico, about 1.5 miles or 2.4 kilometers east of Corning Street. This was also an area known for another West LA gang called the Marvins, but the Playboy Gangsta Crips had a clique on this side also.
We're on Stanley and Saturn. Like, this was all like what they call the Pico Posse, you know what I'm saying? We was hanging at. You know, this is crazy D state right here in this house. You know, this is where everybody used to meet right down here. It was other Playboys and Marvins at that time. It came known as what they call the Pico side, you know? So that's where we held down the fort. We was on our game.
So was there a lot of people on Stanley Ave?
Yeah, I mean, far as, see, like whenever you say the Pico Playboys, I don't really agree with that because it was also Marvin's here too. You know what I'm saying? So I was just saying that was the Pico side. I would agree with that part, you know what I'm saying, the homies? But I wouldn't say it was the Pico Playboys. No, I wouldn't classify it as that.
And who stayed right here?
Big Crazy D. You know, him and his other two brothers. And this was, you know, Moms was cool, you know what I'm saying? She let his friends come over and hang out, you know? About the middle of 1982, I went up to World on Wheels, and I went to the bowling alley top. And I was up there playing one of the video games or something like that, and it was some schoolyards inside there. And the Playboys and the Marvins came in, and it was Big Crazy D and the homie Glover at the time, and Glover came from Watts. He was from Great Street. And me and him, like you know what I'm saying, we was already good friends going when I was going to Fairfax. So Glover had already been telling me that, you know, about Playboys and Marvins, you know what I'm saying? And the rift between Playboys and Marvins, it was two against the schoolyards, the gear gangs, the Venice Show Lines, and the West Boulevards. And he was like saying, you know, that you know, the Playboys and Marvins, though, was holding their mud, you know what I'm saying? Even a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, more aggressive. So, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I heard what you're saying. But then that night, I seen it for myself. You know, the homies, they came up in there, and they came in there so ferocious on them that the schoolyards, they couldn't do nothing but go in the bathroom, you know what I'm saying? And, like, lock themselves in the bathroom. And Glover came right beside me and said, didn't I tell you? And I was like, yeah, you told me, you know? So at that time, though, I was, like, low-key kind of like, you know, messing with one of the schoolyard girls. And same girl that was going with the dude, Swan. And so I came up there the next day, and I'm on a beach cruiser. And the yards, like, they, like, surrounded me. They had me, like you said, like a rainbow. You know, I'm on my bike, and they on bikes, right? And they was like, you know, you ain't welcome up here no more. You ain't welcome up here no more. And I was like, what you talking about? You know what I'm saying? And they was trying to say that I'm the one that brung the Playboy Marvins up there, right? But that wasn't the fact. What they didn't like was the fact that I seen them be, you know what I'm saying, that moment, it was an embarrassing moment for them. But I told them that, you know, y'all gonna regret the day y'all told, you know, me that I couldn't come up here. Now, I didn't know, I was just saying that like out of anger, you know what I'm saying, but I didn't know really what it was gonna develop into. So about 2 or 3 days after that, you know, I hooked up with Glover, you know, I come over here, and we come over to CD house. This is where I met Crazy D at his house, right? We on the grass, it was like me, him, Lil Diamond for Marvin, G-Daw for Marvin, C-Stone, Devil, who else? That's about for Marvin at that that day, that time. And then you had CD Glover, you had Big Diablo, you had Big Tut, you had, let me see, who else? Frog down here. With Lil Nutty there, oh, Lil Ghost, right? Big Ghost. And all of a sudden, a car come riding down the street. And it came down this way. And mind you, this the same street that Big Insane stayed right down the street. And Big No Brain, right? So he come running down the street, and he turned the corner right here. And when he turned the corner, it was like a gold-looking Malibu. When he turned the corner, I seen the hand come out, and the dude bust, right? And I looked, and I knew who it was. So he bust, right, bam. So I looked at CD, and I was like, homie, why y'all ain't bust back? You know what I'm saying? He was like, we ain't got no straps. I was like, damn. So I thought then, I said, man, if I'm gonna be fucking with these motherfuckers over here, you know what I'm saying? We got to be heated. So I took Big Ghost and Lil Diamond from Marvin, and I knew this dude that was, he was at the military, and I knew he had straps. And we went and broke into his house. You know what I'm saying? And we got all the straps and got his weed, got his cameras, you know, everything like that. We were like the fortress after that. We would like protect the fort. You know what I'm saying? The yards, before they could make it over to the land, to the, what we call the Mecca, C Street, Bedford, all that area, you know what I'm saying? From La Cienega to Robinson, before they could make it over there, they would have to come through this way. You see Pico's right there. You know what I'm saying? So when they come through this way, they would always run into us first. And then from fighting us, dealing with us, they would want to come at us anyway. You know what I'm saying? So with the gear gangs, you know what I'm saying? Q-Tip and them, T-Tot. This was weird. They would come first before they would go over there. So this became like, this was the headquarters. This was the hangout, you know, the Pico homies. You know, then we got a liquor store right up the street down, you know what I'm saying, down the street. So anything we really needed was around here. You know, we had our own set of homegirls. You know, this was like Chick Chick and Lisa, like Chick Chick, it was like my sister, right? She gravitated over here in Australia, right? Her sister, right? And Big Tuss sister Lisa, she graduated over here. Glover and them sisters, LaKay and LaRae, they gravitated over here. So we had our own little homegirls and we had our own homeboys right here.
Now some
right?
of those names you mentioned, some of them were Mansfield, some were Marvins, or?
No, it was all, it was just, it was Playboys and Marvins at that time.
Okay. Now let me ask you, there's that article from that old 1987 article in the California magazine that talked about the Playboy Gangsta Crips. Did you want to talk a little bit about that? Were you aware of that of what happened in that article?
Yes, I'm aware of it, but I really don't like to talk about that, you know what I'm saying? Because I got some personal, like scars from that, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, one of my best friends, you know what I'm saying, was taken from me personally, I felt, you know what I'm saying? And went and did it in just some years, and it was by the hands, you know what I'm saying? And some people that did some telling, you know, I had connections with them, you know? So I'll let you, if you get in contact with those that want to speak about that article, they can tell that story.
But you know that whole story though?
Yes.
Okay.
I can understand Spider's reluctance to talk about this incident that was covered in the California magazine in 1987, because it's about a murder that two Mansfield hustlers that were hanging out with the Playboy Gangsta Crips committed in 1985. The victim was a girl named Erica Johnson, who according to the article was perceived to be a Schoolyard Crip sympathizer because she had dated a guy named Dion from Schoolyard Crip. And if you've been paying attention to the podcast, you should have already learned that the Playboy Gangsters and the Schoolyard Crips were serious rivals back then. The PBGs hated Erica, including a female member named Sonia Key, who previously tried to stab Erica. But on February 28, 1985, Erica was shot and killed, and two guys were eventually arrested and convicted of her murder and sentenced to 25 years to life. Both these guys were released from prison in 2018 after serving over 30 years in prison. I met one of the guys involved, who was actually the co-founder of the Mansfields, and I hope to get him on this platform so he can tell his story one day. Let's get back to Spider while on Stanley Avenue.
Where'd you live at?
I stayed on Olympic and Dunn's, man.
Okay.
You know, and that's the reason I would stay. I'll be here before I be on Corny, because I can get here faster. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you come over here, by the time I come over here and get to doing whatever we're going to do over here, we wouldn't go over there. You know, then we would go over there later on. By the time we go over there, shit, we already had a good time over here. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how it was around here. Man, as far as how I became, you know, I never was physically, like, jumped on. You know, you can basically become from any territory, from my understanding, like three ways. You know, either you can get jumped on, either you can, what they call, put in work, you know, for the turf, you know what I'm saying, against your rival enemies, or you can get what I call the stamp, you know what I'm saying, by OG, that you're stamped on to that, under his name. You know, but you're still going to end up having to earn your bones anyway, you know. So, like I said, I was never physically put on the set. So you can pick one of the other two, that's how I got on.
So how many Playboys used to actually be hanging out on this block?
I would say about, like I said, all together with the Playboy Marvin, it was about 17 of us. About 17. You put all the Playboys and Marvins together, something like that, you know? And there's a story that, I wasn't there, you know? So, you know, I can pick it. That's one of my, I can agree and disagree with Ben, though. It depends on how I'm feeling the day we talk, you know? Like, if I'm not feeling him that day, you know what I'm saying? I feel like fucking with him, starting some shit, I tell him, no, it didn't happen. If I, you know what I'm saying, if we on some road, dog, we, you know what I'm saying, laughing this, that, the other, I would agree with it and say, yeah, man, yeah, that happened, you know. And the story is that, you know, Benos came down here because he was hearing about, you know, we putting it on and, you know, representing so tough that, you know, he came down here and told us that we got to, you know, check in on C Street, you know, more often, you know what I'm saying? Y'all got to come on see it. So it was almost badly, it was basically like he's saying he was abolishing the Pico side, you know. And so like I said, I wasn't there, so.
Now, did any of the Marvins try to tell y'all, hey, since y'all over here on Stanley Ave, y'all should just be from Marvin?
Man, Big Bosco, man, he was mad at me had a little bit to this day that I become a Marvin instead of PBG, because we would be on Marvin just as much as we'd be on Corny. You know, even when we was on Corny, we still would be on Marvin, just be, I would, you know what I'm saying, just be on Corny. Cause that's how tight our bond was. But then I would be on Marvin, I'd be on Corny, and then when the Mansfields, you know what I'm saying, start growing or whatever like that, they were doing their thing, right? I already knew them, so I'd be there. So I'd be all this whole area, and that's how I pretty much represented it going into the penitentiary. I call it like the trifecta. You know what I'm saying? I'll be down. I'm fun playing with guys, so you're going to know me as that. You know what I'm saying? I'm this is who I am, but you ain't finna, you can't disrespect no Mansfield. You can't disrespect no Marvin. You know what I'm saying? In my presence, I'm going to take flight on you just as fast if you dish your PBG. You know what I'm saying? I was like really pushing that West LA movement for years, you know? And still in my heart to this day, I still have my, you know what I'm saying, my Mansfields, I love them. Man, just as much as I love Playboy Gangsters, I still have my Marvins I love just as much as I love Playboy Gangsters, you know?
And give us some of those Marvin names that you remember from back in, what, 82,
82, man, 83? Like, my dog, shit, my dog. Like, Shandog, rest in peace. Look at Lil Wicked, rest in peace. Back then, like, with shoot, Big Wick was like a uncle figure to us, you know what I'm saying? Shit. Now my person, like every time I thought I got this gangster shit down right, I done did it to the pinnacle, the one that would always come and say, it ain't good enough, you know, always push me a little bit harder, a little bit further, was Eddie Boy. You know what I'm saying? Eddie Boy, man, that was my nigga there. You know, still is, you know what I'm saying? I got so much love for Eddie Boy, it ain't no joke. But you had other mentors, you got Big Scotty, you know what I'm saying? Big Lucky, you know, we had Bill that grew up over, he'd be over in the land more than, you might say he got more of his training over in PBG hood than anything. You know, that's how, but we was so tight, man, that you couldn't tell the difference. You know, it would be days like, we could be on any given day, like say we in a house party or whatever we doing, right? It wouldn't be nothing for me to walk up and tell somebody, you know, where you from, you know what I'm saying? I might say, nigga's Marvin, you know what I'm saying? A nigga, you know what I'm saying? Mansfield, whatever, you know, cause we was that close.
You just mentioned to some of the homies on the Marvin side. How about on the Mansfield side during those early 80s?
We had Puppet. We had Bear. We had Big D. We had Zoil. We had J-Mac. Rest in peace. Big Ant Dog. Lil Ant Dog.
Those are the Mexican guy?
Who?
Was Ant Dog Mexican?
Nah. He might look it, but I don't know. Okay. One Ant Dog look it, but nah, they ain't Mexican.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Antoine. That was his name. Ant Dog.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we had them. And like I said, another part of the like bad memories that was heartbreaking is when that bond was broken. You know, I thought I would never see a day that either one of those three wasn't always like we are as one. You know, but it came a time through some ignorance, some jealousy, some hating, I don't know how you call it, you know, because once again, I was doing time. You know what I'm saying? When I heard about it, I was like, man, you know. I miss being right here and seeing Big Insane walk down the street. You know, a Big Mouse. Big Insane, rest in peace. A Big Mouse come walking down the street. You know, I miss going down to, you know, Kevin Goff's house and get some lessons, lift some weights, you know what I'm saying? Get some teachers, you know, eat some of his mom's cooking.
What's up,
boy? Y'all know who you is, boy?
Who's that?
Albert Ferguson, one of my old football player partners, and see me do the whole football, gangbanging, all that, you know. Yeah, his brother's still, you know, they still around there. They still drive around, you know. Because the thing about this area, think about West LA, you had a lot of people that even though they wasn't from the gang, right? They had so much love for us because we was never the type of people that was like bullies towards other people that what you call civilians. You know, you got some areas that civilians can't walk down the street unless they're part of the gang. We've never been like that. Between the Mansfield and the Marvins and the Mansfield and the Playboys, the Mansfield would be the youngest of the bunch.
Yeah.
You know? But the Mansfields, you know, they was on some business minded stuff even when they was young.
You knew all them early Mansfields.
Yes.
Because when you came around, that was their early stages.
Yeah, I was literally there when they started. Like right there, when the night it had, you know,
and who,
when they gave the name.
Who would that include?
Coco, Puppet. From my recollection, Puppet was there, right? You got Sammy Joe, D. They was younger though. Julius, it's called Juju. So like I said, Big Ann Dog, Bear, Zoyal, Big D. Later on, Dion, and who else?
Dion Best?
Yes. Yes. It's my boy there. You know, Dion, yeah, Dion, good folks. You know, when that happened, man, you had certain people that was like mad at certain PBGs that was, you know what I'm saying, just as close with both sides. That wasn't, you know, taking no sides about it. And I was one of them, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't taking no side with that, man. Both of them was my brothers, you know what I'm saying? You know, that was look at it like this. Say if I was in the military, right? That's like me wearing a Playboy gangster uniform with a Marvin and Mansfield signias on my uniform, you know what I'm saying? That's how I looked at it. And still do, you know what I'm saying, with those that I grew up with, those that I knew. Because I knew their heart, I knew their spirit. You know what I'm saying? I knew they was just like me, you know, one that don't like to start shit, rather see people laughing and being happy, you know, but we'll finish shit in a minute. I was never, you know what I'm saying, with the spirit of an offender, I was always had the spirit of a defender, mm-hmm. You know.
Even in prison?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't just ever take flight off on anybody? Just
for the hell of it?
Yeah. Nah. You didn't like the way they look? You didn't like the way they talk? No.
Nah, because I ain't never been tough or hard. I just been loyal and dedicated, you know. What it was like when I got to prison, it was pretty all right, to tell you the truth. Because I had already knew so many people from the streets to YA, the county, all that. So I already knew so many people I knew and they knew me. So I was like, I didn't step on the prison yard getting tested or all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Even being second guessed would I ride or not. You know, I'd already did shit and motherfucker already knew that, you know, he gonna stand up for it, he gonna do what he gonna do. You know, he gonna represent, you know, and he gonna stand up for himself as a man. But I had to learn the difference between like the prison gang stuff, you know, and the difference between like the up north brothers,
like
you know,
415.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That whole difference, you know, the Bay Area and you know different mindsets and stuff like that.
Did you ever get involved in CCO or Blue Notes?
No, I was never. I've always been what you call uncut. I didn't see no reason to do it.
And was the BGF still pretty strong when you first got to prison the first
time? Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Because today they're not as strong as they used to be.
Yeah, it was full scale.
Yeah. I think their heyday was the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah. So like I said, I got to prison for the first time in 86. So it was all in cracking. They were probably about the height of their pinnacle, you know, right then and there. As far as, you know what I'm saying, making any money and all that.
So it was just basically cripping for you.
Oh, yeah. You know, don't get me wrong, like I said, I wouldn't start shit, but I was with the bullshit, you know. I'd be wanting to be on the front line when the ride get the cracking or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'd be wanting what you call the first wave. I'm gonna be in the first wave, you know what I'm saying? Because that second wave, you're gonna, most of the dudes, they wouldn't get in the first wave, they get their ass tore up in the second wave. Because that's when the whoever you done took off on, right, they coming back.
El Crazy Mike was a well-known schoolyard Crip during Spider's Day, and the schoolyard Crips were one of the Playboy gangster's main rivals. In this next segment, I asked Spider about El Crazy Mike.
So have you ever had a chance to have a conversation with El Crazy Mike?
No, not yet.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be something else. We talk about some memories. Because we got one incident in particular that I know we'll get straight to probably. Because you know, I'd been doing so much, I guess, you know what I'm saying, Adam. And at that time, see, I was an asshole. Like, I didn't care, like, not only am I coming over here trying to get you, right? I want to mess with your girls, too.
Yeah.
So I ended up having a girl from over there, you know? And I wanted them to know that. Then they would get my numbers and stuff, and just certain ones, they would call me and stuff like that. And so they'd get my address. So on one particular day, I wasn't home, and my mom wasn't home either. And El Crazy Mike came and walked into my door and knocked on my door with a 4-5 in his hand. That's what I heard he always had, right? And because he shot one of my homeboys with. And how I know he did this? Because our next door neighbor, across the street neighbor, his name was Mr. Comalachi, right? And my mom's was tight. They used to want to grab me talking all the time, right? And he lived directly across the street. So anytime we wasn't home, he'd watch the house like a bulldog. You know what I'm saying? We watch over his house as well, right? So he's seen this take place. He described it and everything, right? And then later on, I find out through one of them phone calls, if it wasn't Blue or if it wasn't Big Blue or Stupid Sisters or somebody called me and said, yeah, you know, if you was home, you know, Mike would have got you, this and the other, right? So when I heard that, I like, ain't this a bitch, you know what I'm saying? I flashed. So I'm always wanting, like, I wanted to, like, one-up you or some shit, you know what I'm saying? And I went over and got in his backyard, right? And he was in the shower because the shower was running. Someone was in the shower, right? And I'm waiting for him to come, but I'm short, so I could only see, like, where the bed is at. And so when he came, I'd have probably seen from his waist up, maybe, right? And you won't believe this, man. I didn't know that there was a baby on the bed. And the baby leaned up. I don't know how the baby knew I was outside. Because I wouldn't call Spider Low for nothing. You know what I'm saying? I was known for creeping, you know? And the baby leaned up and was waving at me just like this. Blew my mind, man. I got the hell out of there.
Is that right?
Yeah, I couldn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow. So that was a guy shot on both ends. You know what I'm saying? When he came over to my house, we wasn't home. When I came in his backyard, he was in the shower, and his shower was right there. I'm like,
baby,
wow.
With a baby right there.
Yeah. So I was like, man, God is, he shows up and shows out. So yeah, man, that would be amazing. See me and Mike do some, you know what I'm saying, some peace talk work together, stuff like that. Because I found out, like in prison, like you said, that we all, when you communicate, communication is the key to all understanding. Mm-hmm. If you communicate with anybody, especially the next black dude, you're gonna find out that you talk to yourself. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't find out, man, that, because I couldn't stand this in prison, right? When you see a dude that he ain't got no homeboys on the yard, that nigga is so quiet, you think he work in the library. But as soon as he get about like 5 homies on the yard, that nigga so loud, you think he the MC at the rap concert. You know what I'm saying? Them the dudes that the set makes them. You know, I respect and honor the dude that they make the set. So I'm only repping, you know what I'm saying, from the tribe, from the family that I'm from, is because that's where I gravitated to. Anybody that, you know what I'm saying, we're from where we're from, because that's where you grew up at or you gravitated to.
Yeah.
So I could have been from the jungle. I could have been from the 20s, Bloods. I could have been from the schoolyard. I could have been Gear, whatever. Around here, I could have grew up in Venice, 60s, Hoover, you know what I'm saying, Gray Street, Watts, Compton, whatever, Long Beach. I'd have still been Spider Low. I might have got killed earlier. I might have got, you know, early in the game, or I might have got a life sentence. You know, I might have been a little wilder, up and down, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I can't call it. You know what I'm saying? But So when I realized that, man, that opens my eyes and opens my heart to be willing to come to a table of peace. You know what I'm saying? And respect the next dude across the table as being a soldier from where he's from.
Now, what guys from Venice Showline kind of bumped heads the most with the Playboy gangsters back then?
I mean, one that stood out the most was Smoke Dog. You know, we Smoke Dog. He had a real chip on his shoulder about us. You know, even before I went to YA, Smoke Dog just, I don't know what it was about him. I never got to the bottom of that either.
Have you ever had to hang out on the prison yard with Showline, Schoolyards?
Oh, yeah.
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 What's that like?
Well, in prison, to be honest with you, man, they would be very, very kind, very, very nice to us. They're very respectful, put it like that. You know what I'm saying? You know. But you had those that wasn't so friendly. I remember not now, a guy named by the name of Alfie, right? Alfie didn't like us either, right? One time we was at 4800, and Alfie told me that we was finna have a meeting, right? The play wasn't Marvin, we was gonna have a meeting with the show lines. In the cell on the tier. So they get the cell open. I go in the cell, but I don't realize, right, that I'm the only Playboy or Marvin, you know what I'm saying, in the goddamn cell. Everybody in the cell was from Venice. So the plot was, they was finna eat my ass alive, you know what I'm saying? But Big Bulldog came down there, he seen me in the cell, right? He was like, Spider, what you doing in there? I said, nigga, Alfie, I said, just like this. The nigga Alfie said, we having a meeting, ain't we? And he said, ain't this a bitch, man? Alfie? And he cuts Alfie out, right? And he got the cell open. And I'm like, what's up with that? He says, Spider, come here, man, come here, right? And I come up to Big Bulldog, the big ass nigga, right? And Big Bulldog and Big Insane was like this. They was tight, right? So when I come out the cell, I hear him telling Alfie that he ain't shit. And I see Alfie got this sniggling ass grin like a Cheshire cat, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, ain't this nothing? Hold up, man. You mean to tell me, nigga, you know what I'm saying? Oh, this is a setup. I was mad at the motherfucker, man.
The world lost Nipsey Hussle on March 31st, 2019. But that loss hit hard in Los Angeles. And Spider wanted to speak on his death and the impact that it personally had on him.
I'd like to speak about the, you know, the latest events, man. That I like to express that. I never thought, you know, in my heyday, you know, having resentments towards, you know, other gangs and stuff like that, that I would feel that much pain in my heart when Nipsey Hussle passed. Man, it hurt like a direct homeboy was killed, you know? And then come to find out, you know, all the things he was doing. You know, he was really, if you want to say, he was really crippled. You know, he was about the community. He was a revolutionary and, you know what I'm saying, in progress. You know, and he touched so many lives, you know? I even did some research and found out the man was, I mean, he had thousands of people working. You know, I even had some of my younger, you know, homeboys, you know, had little naysaying to say. And I had to correct him saying, man, you know, remember, you know, we're only from where we're from because that's where we grew up and we gravitated to, you know. And that brother, unless you're doing something like him for your neighborhood, then how can you down that man? That was like the face of LA, man. Matter of fact, it was the face of LA. I'm going to say it like that. You know what I'm saying? My feelings, my direct result, everything that brother was doing. Man, we lost a good one, you know? We always do, man. And however it came out, whatever really reason it for, you know what I'm saying? It was senseless, man, you know? That and I would also, you know, like to give a shout out to, you know, all the different cities and, you know what I'm saying, turfs and Rab Land out there. You know, the homies in Alabama, the homies in Oklahoma, Arizona, you know what I'm saying, North Carolina, New York, you know what I'm saying, New Jersey. You know, Atlanta, you know, we love y'all out here, man. You know what I'm saying? And we want y'all to don't be exactly like us, be better than us. You know, that's why I always tell my little homies, you know what I'm saying? I'm not y'all big homie, I'm your G homie. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're always looking up to me, you won't see past me. You know, and I need y'all to hop all the way to the sky. You know what I'm saying? That's what's in my prayers and my thoughts, you know? Alex, I'd like to thank you, man, you know what I'm saying, for the work you be out here doing, man. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing it, brother, you know? You're doing a good job, man. You know, you're getting these words out, you're getting an understanding of the heart, you know, and you get to understand that none of us really, not me and all the ones I know, joined a gang to be evil, tough, or mean. You know, I was never hard. You know, rough and tough. I was just loyal and dedicated. You know, we was all going out here trying to search for something that apparently, you know what I'm saying, we wasn't receiving, you know, in our upbringing. You know, and we was like the little rascals. You know, now see, I had friends before the money, you know, for the bling bling of what's called the fad of gang banging or whatever like that. You know what I'm saying? It's a fad. I probably tell all my homies, play what, gangsters? We're not a gang. You know what I'm saying? We're a tribe. We're a family. You know, it goes deeper than that. And if you out here in these streets as a kid and you got a pack of annihilators, you know, you got seven friends, it's gonna be seven of y'all, you know what I'm saying? Gonna have some annihilators. If somebody, you go to the store and the young man from another street, like one like Butch on the Little Rascals, jump on that little young man, then when he comes back and tell us, you know, he got his lip busted because he was trying to get some annihilators, of course you're gonna be angry because that was your friend, you know? And that's how the gang banging part starts out. You know, but most of the gangs, it's senseless before over women, you know, over materialistic stuff. You know what I'm saying? We've been caught, see, by the Willie Lynch syndrome, we've been taught to be the biggest haters of ourselves. You know, shout out to my homie Shark, you know, Big Crazy D, Cadillac, you know what I'm saying? Gangsta Ed, Lil Insane, you know, these are some of the ones that, Big Pirate, you know, some of the ones that you know, Ben knows, haven't wanted to come around, you know what I'm saying? But them other ones, they haven't wanted to stay around, you know what I'm saying? And then from then on, you know what I'm saying? It's just been all love, man, you know? So I thank all my homegirls, you know, every last one of them, you know what I'm saying? It's always been there to encourage, you know what I'm saying? Stick by our sides, no matter what, you know? West LA, we doing our own kind of positive movement right now, you know what I'm saying? I like to thank the, you know what I'm saying, Playboy, Marvin's, Mansfield's, Blasting Fools, By Yourselves, you know, all that's the West LA trade thing, man, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna try to come together, man, and do some things that's gonna be productive, you know what I'm saying? To have the kids have a better future out here. All not just about, you know, crash and burn it in these streets, man, you know? Thank you, brother, appreciate it.
I wanted to ask, who kind of got that West LA movement going? How did that start?
Well, I put a decree out there, you know, and then the homie Coco and Glover, you know, they put some things together. You know, and the rest, it just, see, it's like this with us. It don't even be nobody really start nothing, you know what I'm saying, other than Jesse, you know what I'm saying, and Pirate and all them started the turf in the first place, right? Big Don Juan now, right? Fat Rat, you know, Scooby, all them, right? But ever since then, it's like an idea will come up and it'll just generate, man, like wildfire through everybody else's mind. You know what I'm saying? Like I might have a little poker might have a little idea, and I get that same idea before we even talk down there. You know what I'm saying? That's how we like spiritually and mentally connected on the West LA side. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you know what I'm saying? I hope this will be passed the torch. You will get in touch with other what they call it, the five, you know what I'm saying? Like in that movie Soul Food. My mom was talking about that five fingers, you know what I'm saying? And she closed that hand and made a mighty fist. Yeah, that will be on that. We're on that West LA move.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Big Spider from the Playboy Gangsta Crips and Ain't No Fun When the Rabbit Got the Gun episode. As I mentioned in the intro, portions of this interview are available on video on the Street TV platform on YouTube, but this podcast version includes segments that were never posted to the video channel. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review and let me know what your thoughts are. I read all those comments, and you could also visit our website, streettv.net, for all the show notes, photos, and relevant links, and follow our Instagram page at street.television.